Looking for something more. That has been our focus these last few weeks. We began at Epiphany, right? Using the journey of the Magi as an example, right? Of some folks that looked at life and thought, there's got to be something more out there. Let's go find it. We began with that journey, an invitation really just to look for more, right? Now, looking for something more is not some sort of consumerist pitch. This isn't like a commercial break hoping you'll run to your local mall and buy more stuff. But this is about looking for something more in a sacred and soulful pursuit. Over the last few weeks, we have looked for something more in Scripture, in music, in prayer, in relationship, and in service. All with the hope that we might find more in these things, in ways that would add more to our lives and to our world. As I thought about these different themes, it did strike me that all of the subjects so far, perhaps with the exception of relationship, are, or at least can be, very individual pursuits. I mean, they don't have to be, right? We can read and study Scripture together. We share in music with others, listening in and adding our voices. We can and we do pray communally as well as pray for one another. And we can multiply the needs we meet through service as a community. All of these things can be communal, but they all can be done individually as well, right? We can just do those things on our own. If you're looking for something more, you can grab a Bible at home, turn on some music at home, pray for somebody, just on your own, do that. Now, today's conversation differs because what we talk about today can only be done in community. Because today, we are looking for something more in worship. Now, please don't conflate worship with other great things you can do on your own, right? We can offer thanks and praise. We can commune. We can honor God all by ourselves. You're welcome to do those things anytime you like. Please do. But all of those things are not the same as worship, right? Offering thanks to God isn't specifically worship. It's a part of worship. But it isn't worship. There's certainly some overlap in a lot of ways, like if there was a theological Venn diagram, these things all sort of meet. But there is something of worship that is unique and communal. Because worship is something we share in together. If none of y'all showed up, if none of you were participating from home, and I was here alone, it would not be worship. It would be awkward. It would be a lot of things. But it would not be worship. So what makes worship worship? And why might we look for something more in it? Worship is the practice of coming together to be people in community, to be God's people in community. We both celebrate what God is and does while also asking God for what we need together. Now, there's a wide variety, right? Worship can be formal with an order of rituals like we typically do on a Sunday. Actually, many people who have lots of rituals would look at us and say, you don't have a lot of rituals. But we do. They're ours. Worship can also be organic and free form, just sort of what happens, happens. A little bit out of my comfort zone, but just as valid. Now, the other thing about worship is that it's biblical and that we are invited to worship by God in the Scriptures. From the very beginnings of creation, the Sabbath was a day set apart to celebrate and remember God's presence and works. That we would take some time and look and then come together and celebrate that. And just to reiterate it, in God's instructions to the people through the Ten Commandments, right in that list, a day of rest and celebration, reaffirmed. Keep this day holy and share it together. And then even in the New Testament, Jesus invites us to gather, saying even two or more of you, just get together. The way he phrased it, inviting us to be community so his presence could be made real. Worship is biblical. And worship is supposed to be biblical, right, in the way that it's invited by the Scriptures, but it's also invited to be biblical in that we're invited to experience and share the Scriptures together. Now, this is an interesting piece. We already talked about Scripture, but that's kind of what we might look for and what it can be for us. But we also share in Scripture together as a community. We incorporate Scripture with great intention to engage the sacred text of our tradition. And I don't know if you've been aware of this, but it isn't just a few verses in the sermon. It's not like we just worship, 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 quick, let's read some Scripture, and worship, worship, worship. There is Scripture woven throughout everything we do. There were a half dozen Scriptures woven into our hymns today. This happens every single week, right? So we open with, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing," which actually walks us through the ministry of Jesus and his great deeds, right? There's healing, there's resurrection, there's life abundant, and more. All right in that one hymn we opened with. And then just before prayer time, when we sang, "Seek ye first," those are the actual words of Jesus from Matthew 6 and Matthew 7. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness," and all these things. That's just Jesus talking. We're just singing it together. The Scripture set to music. We just shared in "Shall We Gather at the River," actually a musical retelling of the story of the river of life in the book of Revelation. Right? Not the weird stuff with the horses and the clouds and the other things. This is about life flowing into the world all around us. And we're invited to gather there. We visited that Scripture together today. And then our closing hymn we'll get to in a little while, "Sing of the Lord's Goodness." It's like they took half the book of Psalms and just sort of crammed it into one hymn so we can enjoy all of these celebrations. It's an amazing thing to see so much Scripture all around us. And this is on purpose, because we're invited to share these stories together as God's people. The Scriptures themselves are in our liturgy, they're in our ritual, they're in our prayers, they're in children's time. Scripture shows up in all that we do, shaping and forming our worship life together. Worship is rich with scriptural influence, and hearing and seeing that is one of the ways we can get more out of worship. When we say we're looking for more in worship, I invite you to look to the hymns, look to the words, look to the prayers, and realize there is so much more there. We're not just going through the motions to fill time. In fact, many a week, the staff and I will look and say, "I don't know, the service looks like it might run short this week. Should we add some things to make it longer?" And I reflect back on one of my preaching professors who said, "Get them to God and get out of the way." Right? Nothing, making something longer doesn't make it more meaningful. We don't put anything into this service that isn't here for a reason. And I want you to know that so that as you're participating in this service, you can ask yourself, "Why is this here? What am I getting out of this? What is it telling me? What is it offering me?" And if you do bump into something that you think has nothing to offer, please let me know. I would be very interested to either help you find a hidden meaning in it or just get rid of it because it's filler. I don't like filler. Every single week is deeply tied to liturgy and ritual. I think about it now. We didn't have any acolytes at this service. But each week when we have one of our young people carry the light in, bringing the flame to the altar. Did you know that's a worship as old as time itself? This ritual we share in of celebrating the bringing of light. The symbolism of God's presence in our midst as we worship. And then that light is carried out into the world when we leave. An invitation for us to do the same. Our acolytes aren't just adding some mood lighting to the room. They're inviting us to be mindful of God's presence in worship. There's meaning in it. Now, we are, I would say, rather informal in our practices. Right? We're sort of casual. I like that about us. And yet we still have great intention in the rhythms and patterns that we share. We stand as the offering is brought forward, singing, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." A reminder each and every week that it's something that's just worthy of just being amazed by. That if we honestly and truly considered all that God has done, we would hop out of our seats just because, wow! There's a reason we stand. It's not just for some sort of aerobic component to worship. I don't know if you know this, but we also intentionally place the time of offering. It's after the sermon, it's after communion, it's after the Scripture, it's after almost everything else. Because we want to make sure there is never a misconception that you have to give so that you can then receive something. Maybe you didn't notice this, but the prayers, right? The words of hope, the gift of communion when we share it, all of those things come before we ask you to offer back. Because we never want you to think you have to pay to get anything. The offering comes last so that we can give out of gratitude for all we've received, not as some kind of admission. You know, worship also includes the hymns and the prayers. As our liturgists often say, they invite us, I love this, to join our hearts and voices as one. All of these communal readings we do, the call to worship, the sending prayer, the offering prayer, they are a powerful way to be reminded that we're not alone. We speak them together for a reason. It's not just you standing by yourself asking God to be here in a time of need. We're all asking together with you and for you. Our voices are louder because we gather together. And even if those of you participating at home, your voices join ours. Because God's presence and listening transcends the distance and the time that sometimes might be in our reality. We get to share in that human experience, being reminded that it's shared by others. And so we name it aloud in word and in song, which is another invitation of worship, to name aloud things left unsaid. Whether they're gratitude or whether they're a gripe, we can speak them aloud here in the presence of God and community. One of the reasons we worship is so that we can be reminded on a regular basis that your voice matters. What you need to say to God matters, and we want to hear it. And we want to echo it with you. And we also want to listen, because not only does your voice matter, but so do your ears. Because worship at its best includes both talking and listening. Talking and listening on our part, and talking and listening on God's part. I love that concept, that we talk and listen during worship, and that God is talking and listening during worship. Now, I'll be honest, I don't always know what God is saying, and I always not quite sure what I'm supposed to say to God. So the listening part is nice, isn't it? That we can be in worship and listen and know that God is listening. You know, as I considered scriptures for this week, I was overwhelmed by the countless references to worship we could have used. And I was going through it and trying to pick one out. In fact, I was so late in choosing the scripture for the service today, I couldn't get a video recorded in time to include it. I'm sorry. Something about calling a family on Saturday afternoon. Like, okay, I finally figured out my scripture. Would you record a video and get it to me in 17 minutes? Just didn't seem appropriate. However, if you're someone who's like, oh, totally, my kid will do it, let me know, because that happens sometimes. But let me say, having our young people read scripture every week is easily one of the best things we've added to this worship service. I love it, right? It's participation, it's connection, it's a beautiful voice. It's a gift of worship that we get to be intergenerational. I love that we got folks in their 90s, and we've got folks that are 9 months all sharing together. That's part of worship. Now again, I was looking through, and mind you, there are countless psalms about worship. There's a bunch of Hebrew Bible passages that articulate how worship is supposed to happen. I considered using the scripture that says what the priest has to wear, including that it can't be mixed fiber, but that seemed to get into like rabbit trails that were unimportant. All sorts of different scriptures, all about worship. But the one that resonated the most for me was from the book of Hebrews. Now, this is actually a book in the New Testament, speaking to a Hebrew audience. And in the 12th chapter, hear the author invite us to worship. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe. Now, in the lead up to this verse, it's actually like 28 verses in, and I didn't want to subject you to all of it. But the lead up to this verse, the author notes how shakable life can be, right? That life gets shaken and things are falling apart sometimes, and how impermanent and how unreliable the world can be, just how shaky things can feel. And then looking toward God's vision of the future, we are invited to receive something so much more, something the author describes as unshakable. For that's what God's kingdom and God's gift is. It is unshakable. And because God enters into our shaky world to offer us something more, we are invited to be thankful in worship. We are invited to acknowledge God with reverence and with awe. I love that. I love that pairing, right? Because I think of reverence in this sort of quiet, you know, oh, respectful kind of sense. But I think of awe as sort of this mind-blowing, wow kind of a sense. And we get to hold both reverence and awe. But I think it was actually that word unshakable that caught my attention the most. I mean, this entire sermon series, looking for something more. Honestly, isn't it just looking for that? Isn't it looking for something unshakable? And I wonder, in a very sometimes shaky world, if worship doesn't offer us that little glimpse of something unshakable as we get to be and experience God's kingdom in this space together. The ancient words and ritual, the steadfastness of weekly gathering, the invitation to not be alone and to speak truth while listening for divine truth. Worship is a chance to find something unshakable in a very shaky world. I got thinking about that. You know, we have worshiped in the best of times together. And when I say we, I don't just mean me and you and the number of weeks we might have shared in this space. I think about our history as God's people that predates our own lives, that transcends decade upon decade and century and millennia. We as God's people have worshiped in the best of times, and we have worshiped in the worst of times. And thinking about us these last few years, we've even worshiped when we couldn't be in the room together. I loved children's time today, focusing on the difference between church and worship, and the church isn't the building, and the church, you know, we've talked about that my entire life, right? Oh, the church isn't the building, the church is the people. And for more than a year and a half, we had to cling to that promise because we couldn't be in the building together. Some of us still aren't, and we're still church. And that amazes me. We have worshiped when we couldn't be in the room together. We've worshiped when it was standing room only and we had like 350 people in here on a Christmas Eve. The church has worshiped through wars and pandemics. They have worshiped the day after someone's loved one has died. They've worshiped the moment after terrorist attacks. Even our own congregation, we've worshiped through snowstorms when only the neighbors a block away could seem to make it in. That's why the pastor lives next door, right? I can still be here. We've worshiped through power outages. We've worshiped through the weeks that someone on staff or the preacher wakes up and is like, oh goodness, I'm sick, call someone last second. It still works. We get through these things. There is not a single occasion when worship has not happened. And that's one of the reasons we're called to worship. It's one of the reasons we are invited to make worship a part of our lives, because it is here. It is not interrupted. It can be unshakable in a very shaky world. It is a place we can find a firm foundation and for at least a moment glimpse that unshakable promise. We worship so that we can find something more. May it be so for you today. And every time we gather. Amen. Now, we've been keeping the sermon series a little fun with our amazing altar. Now, last week we used the quilt. If you didn't know we're doing this, we're doing I Spy puzzles every single week. They're all on the website. You can find every single puzzle and good photos. So you go to the church website, you click digital bulletin, you'll see all the stuff. But for those of you in the room today, allow me to offer you our I Spy riddle that you can look here. Those of you online, again, the riddle and the picture on the digital bulletin. But here we go. I Spy, bands that don't play music and a low score domino, two very different cakes, and two places to keep your dough.